savage had seized him by the collar, lifted him clear over the chair, and, with a smart box on the ears, sent him howling away. His yells brought the head nurse hurrying to the rescue.
"What have you been doing to him?"
she demanded, fiercely.
"I won't have you striking the children."
"Well, then, you keep them away from this bed."
The savage's voice was trembling with indignation.
"What are these filthy little brats doing here at all? It's disgraceful."
"Disgraceful? But what do you mean? They're being death-conditioned, and I tell you," she warned him truculently, "if I have any more of your interference with their conditioning, I'll send for the porters and have you thrown out."
The savage rose to his feet and took a couple of steps towards her. His movements and the expression on his face were so menacing that the nurse fell back in terror. With a great effort, he checked himself and, without speaking, turned away and sat down again by the bed. Reassured, but with a dignity that was a trifle shrill and uncertain,
"I've warned you," said the nurse, "so mind."
Still, she led the two inquisitive twins away and made them join in the game of Hunt the Zipper, which had been organized by one of her colleagues at the other end of the room.
"Run along now and have your cup of caffeine solution, dear," she said to the other nurse.
The exercise of authority restored her confidence, made her feel better.
"Now, children," she called.
Linda had stirred uneasily, had opened her eyes for a moment, looked vaguely around, and then once more dropped off to sleep. Sitting beside her, the savage tried hard to recapture his mood of a few minutes before. ABC, vitamin D, he repeated to himself, as though the words were a spell that would restore the dead past to life. But the spell was ineffective.